concerns about the way they handle the profits, who gets the profits, what goes to the charity organizations, and what goes out to the operators and the vendors.
Sure.
And we're trying to address all of those issues in this bill. And if we want to tighten the title, that's fine, too. I don't want to really send a tight title out. There's, that information was made available.
What is this?
This means they get $19.30. That's what the charities end up with.
Where did this come from?
Department of Commerce.
Randall did this?
All right. Randall. Good.
What did we do, Mr. Chairman?
Thank you, Randall. When you were on teleconference, would you walk us through the bill or through the rough draft here and see where we are?
Sure, Mr. Chairman. Are we working on 6-220E?
Right.
Okay.
That's the rough draft that's sent out to the teleconference sites.
Okay. Are we
ready?
What's wrong? I'm just looking at it. With bright eyes, I'm thinking, wow, I've already started off here. Okay. Mr. Chairman, Section 1 of the bill amends the regulations portion of the gaming statute and basically places in each of those different locations a reference to the vendor. So, for instance, on lines 13, says that the department can adopt regulations regarding the issuance, renewal, and revocation of permits, licenses, and then they add vendor registrations. And that's basically what the first two pages of the bill does, is just add throughout the statute references to vendor registration. On very at the bottom of page 2, section 2, they've amended the reference to examinations of books and records so that on page 3 it references the vendor as well. On section 3 of the bill, on page 3, this is the lines 11 through 14. This was the amendment you added, which says that this is the contract between the permittee and the operator, and it says that the contract must provide that an operator conducting pull tab games on behalf of the permittee shall return no less than 40% of the ideal net to the permittee. So that's been added.
Mr. Chairman, 60%. All right, how did you come up with the 40%? Did you take into
account? That's arbitrary figure.
Oh, okay. Well, wouldn't there be a way mathematically to do it? What about overhead? Do these guys have overheads? I mean, if there is, and I don't know, I'm asking you, okay? If you have a permittee gives their permit with a contract to the operator, right? The operator is selling the pull tabs in an establishment or on the street corner or where?
Mr. Chairman, it could be in one of these pull tab parlors. It could be at a bingo hall. It could be through a vendor at a retail establishment. It could be in any of those three locations.
Okay. Did you take overhead into account?
This proposal, as Senator Eliason indicated, was an attempt to, I guess, increase the percent that's going to the permittees, only dealing with pull tabs.
Pull tabs only.
And it's not having to do with bingo. We recognize that the expenses for bingo are, there are higher expenses for bingo. For instance, establishing a location where they're just playing pull tabs, the expenses aren't that significant.
But there are expenses.
This is correct.
And you took those into account, Randall?
Well,
I'm just asking.
Right.
I don't know.
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay.
I just want to make sure the permittee gets the fair share of it.
Okay, so
it would make sense, though,
to look at some of these.
Well, most of the operators that are selling pull tabs are also doing it in the bingo parlors, correct?
Right, well, that's correct. There are some operators that who only sell pull tabs and are not involved in bingo at all. And I think that certainly from the reports that we're seeing to date, operators are not losing money. That's a concern.
The only thing I have a concern of is that we came up as much
right.
as we could mathematically with this
right.
number. It could
no.
be 60%
right.
as far as I'm concerned,
that's correct.
As long as it makes some sort of, we've taken into account the real expenses out there.
And that's difficult to do. I mean, we can certainly show you, by the next couple of weeks, all the reports will be in, and we can certainly give you information that will show you what kinds of expenses operators have and what kinds of profits. But
let's address a little further into the operator now. Tell us what some of the operators do. They are, as far as it appears to me, they're the middleman in some cases. They act for the permittee to go to a vendor.
Sure.
And that's their involvement. They'll do this for that person, and they're sitting there in many cases, a handsome profit
right.
for acting as a middleman.
Okay, I understand that, but what about the operator that's got his bar at the corner, or the drugstore, wherever they do this, and they're selling the pull tabs? They're the operator, the actual owner of the facility,
sure, they have
who got the permit.
They have additional expenses, and they have the expenses of the rent and things of that nature. I guess I would say that the turnaround, there's not high overhead from a lot of these spaces. For Bingo, there may well be, but for others, they're just literally renting a storefront and then putting in as many pull tab games as they can get in that location. Certainly, we can give you some figures relatively soon.
That's all I want.
Right.
Or, I mean, our bar is just a part of their operation.
And the other thing, Mr. Chair, if I might make one comment. There's been a lot of talk about the fact that for Bingo, it's that they need to charge, or we need to keep the percentages low for Bingo because there is high overhead, and I think we agree with that to some extent. It's also true, though, that one of the reasons there is a lot of expenses for Bingo is that they give out substantial amounts of money in prizes, and they're doing that obviously to compete and to attempt to to get the clientele into their location. There can be profits made from Bingo, more profits than probably are being made from Bingo, and using it as a loss leader for pull tabs, if they wanted to decide that they weren't going to try to be as competitive, give less out in prizes, and increase the amount that's returning to the permittee.
I don't want anybody to misunderstand me. I am
sure.
opposed to gambling,
right.
okay? But I want, if we're going to do this, and we have these hamsters running around and pull tabs and all this other stuff, I want a level playing field. I don't want to make winners and losers out of this thing, with some people having to give 40%, others giving 20 or 30 or whatever it is, and the permittee then going out there and shopping for the operator who's going to give them the largest percentage, and you're going to put some operators out of business, you're going to give other operators, you see what I mean? Is that the bill set up that scenario?
Mr. Chairman, I don't think so, and I guess I would say that one of the things we want to encourage is permittees. Right now, this says no less than 40%, and in this other section we're going to talk to, it talks about the permittees have to get at least 15%, and those are at least and no more than. So that what you try to do is you try to get a permittee who's willing to go out there and negotiate with the operator for a higher percentage that'll come back to them. Because what we're here for is to give them as much money as they can get.
It's not justification, right?
Right.
To be quite frank, I still have a problem where in the name of charity, that you're only getting 40% of the net, and somebody else is getting 60%. I don't think that's fair. I think they should get more than 40%.
I do too.
As a matter of fact, I'd totally like to eliminate some of those people out there who are selling these for a profit, using charity as a front.
There's certainly a fine. I mean, there's a point at which, and that's the issue that we have with the vendors and in other sections of this bill, is that vendors aren't licensed at all. They're in the position because permittees want a place to place their pull tabs. They're in a position to dictate at this point in time what percentage that will return to the permittee, and we're getting situations where the permittee isn't even getting 50% anymore, and they're not even, quote, using an operator, they're just using a vendor. And that's certainly, so what you have is people who aren't, as Senator Larson pointed out, aren't in the business of charitable business, who are making equal or more than the charity itself.
Senator Cogdill.
Chairman Randall, on page 5 of this bill.
Can we go through it, Senator?
Okay, well that's
on page 3 now.
You can clearly see that that's a controversial addition to this bill. Section 4 of the bill amends the current law that says that the department shall revoke, I'm reading on page 3, line 16 now. The department shall revoke the license of an operator who does not, one, report an adjusted gross income of at least 15% for 2 quarters. 2, pay to each authorizing permittee for 2 quarters at least 15% of the AGI as determined under this section, received from activities, and this is the new part, other than pull tabs. The reason we're doing that is because we're setting out the 40% for pull tabs. And or 3 now, pay to each authorizing permittee for 2 consecutive quarters at least 40% of the ideal net from the pull tab gains. So these are 3 different ways in which the license of an operator would be revoked if they, 2 of which are currently in statute, and the third, number 3, reflects the change up above of the 40%. On page 4, the suspension or revocation, This section has been repealed and reenacted. Under current law, it just talks about suspension of a permit. Doesn't say anything about a license, which is the operator's license. And then because of the new vendor category, so the drafter redid this section entirely and basically added the ability to suspend or revoke not just the permittee's permit, but also the license of an operator or the vendor registration if they fail to comply with any provisions of this chapter. And they took out a section that wasn't in the original language, which gave us the authority to come in and literally automatically suspend their permit for 90 days while we were going through an investigation. That's been removed, but we have that similar kinds of language in another section now. And this also requires now that they have a hearing, which we didn't have in the past. On the bottom of page 4, section 6, this is the change that Senator Fakes had recommended. This says that a permittee removes municipality qualified organization, because that's what we're calling a permittee, may award of $1 million in prizes, and then deletes the reference to if you're using an operator, then it's $500,000. So now everybody can award each permittee is the same amount of money, $1 million in prizes. No limit whether you're using an operator or not. We actually support that. It's been one of the reasons that people have attempted to avoid operator status is because they don't want to be in the position of not being able to offer the same kind of prize award structure. Section 7.
Chairman, that's the section that I had highlighted, the one on that lines 2 and 3, you say this subsection, activities authorized under this chapter, means all activities subject to this chapter other than bingo. Right. Now, what about your taking bingo out of this chapter that we're talking that's referred to here? Is that only has to do with pull tabs, or does it have to do with the permittees, the vendors, and the operators?
This has to do, this section is simply establishing how much a permittee may give out.
This chapter.
Right.
And it says in the chapter.
Right. And this section here, the lines 2 and 3, that's current language in the law. That hasn't been changed at all on lines 2 and 3.
Mr. Chairman, what I'm trying to get at, Randolph, is this, is that this, in this subsection, activities authorized under this chapter, uh-huh. We're talking about the whole chapter,
right.
The whole structure.
Naming activities in general.
Pull
tabs.
Pull tabs.
Ice classics, whatever.
Well, why wouldn't, because when we had that other bill the other day before us, that also takes in the permittee and his relationship to the operator,
right.
And the vendor,
right.
Which is where your people that are selling the tickets, ice classic tickets, are vendors.
Uh-huh.
Is that, in this chapter, does that then, does it have anything to do with the ice classic, or does it have anything to do with other games of chance other than bingo?
Sure, but Mr. Chairman, if I might, I think that this says here that the Nana Ice Classic, to use that example, as a permittee, couldn't award more than $1 million in prizes in a year. That's current law. You're not doing that anyway, are you?
No, we're not there yet.
Right. That's current law, and that applies to all existing games right now. We haven't changed that at all.
I'm just wondering if it has to do with not just the limits, but does it have to do anything with the vendors and the permittees?
This only refers now to the permittee and their ability to pay out, in this case, $1 million, whether they're using an operator or they're doing it themselves.
Okay. Nana could take in $20 million, and they never award $1 million. That Scotsman never let a dime out of town.
Mr. Chairman, page 5, section 7 now, on lines 4, this is a section that would clarify that a distributor may not take an order for pull tabs from a vendor, sell the series to a vendor, or deliver to a vendor location. We're trying to make it clear that the relationship in this statute, as it is in current law, is between the permittee and the distributor, not the vendor. Section 8, this says, adds new language, which I think has been pretty well roundly supported, prohibits the owner or manager of an employee of a vendor establishment from purchasing pull tabs from the games that's being played in their establishment. Section 9 of the bill sets up now, this is the new, the major section of the bill, creates now pull-tab sales by vendors on behalf of permittees and a vendor registration. The first section of this bill says that a permittee or operator may contract with a vendor to sell pull-tabs, and they have to first register that vendor with the department, and pay a registration fee of $50 for each location. Subsection B, the department shall approve it or approve, and we have only 10 days. We're doing this in recognition of the fact that when someone wants to switch, they don't want us to take a very long time, so we're going to do it for 10, we're going to do it in 10 days, and we're going to print these applications on hot pink or something, so we'll know what they are. On C, upon approval of the vendor location, we'll issue an endorsement. What we're going to do is, we're not licensing the establishment. We are putting an endorsement on the permittee's license that allows them to sell pull tabs at X location. And we'll then give them a new license that will go directly to that permittee, and that original license will be posted in that location. Subsection D just makes it clear that this is an endorsement on the license of the operator or the permittee, and they can't sell the series until they have the license. E says that we have to issue one for each location, and when they stop or they make changes, they have to give notice to us of where they are and return the license. Subsection F, at the time they renew their own, each operator or permittee renews their permit or license, they also renew the vendor establishment. Subsection G on page 6, they have to have a written contract and we can inspect that contract. Page 7, subsection H, this is clarifying that no person other than the permittee's member in charge or an operator can directly supply pull tab series to a vendor. We want to make sure that it's the member in charge of the permittee who's providing this to the vendor. Subsection I, this is the section that's been somewhat debated. They may not compensate a vendor for selling series of pull tabs in an amount greater than 30% of ideal net. So 30% would go to the maximum that could go. And if they're having a contract, if they can get a 20% for the vendor instead of 30, that's fine, but the maximum would be 30. Subsection J says that they have to pay the amount to the permittee within 30 days that's owed to them for that full tab series that they placed with the vendor.
Let's go back on the 30%.
Sure.
As it relates to the 40%.
Uh-huh.
Relationship between the 40% there and the 30% net here.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, I guess you could look at it, if you got the 100% here, if a permittee is doing it directly, then they've just got 30% to the vendor, 70% to them. That's the minimum. If they're using an operator, then the operator is going to, under this, for pull tabs, would have to give the permittee at least 40%, leaving the operator with 60%. What the operator does with that 60% in his or her relationship with the vendor is between the operator and the vendor. Under this, the vendor could get up to 30% if that's what the operator wanted to offer that person. So they'd split the difference.
Yeah. Do it again.
Okay. We have 100% here. 40%, we're talking just about pull tabs now. 40% has to go to the permittee. That leaves us with
60%. That's the charity.
That's the charity, right.
Okay.
40% of the ideal net goes to the charity. Leave 60% to be split between the operator either doing it him or herself in his own location, or if they use a vendor, then some percentage of that operator, 60%, would also have to go to the vendor. And that would be negotiated between the two of them.
Why do we mandate how much?
Why don't we?
Why do we?
We don't.
Yes, you do. No, not greater than 30%.
Right. Well, that's not greater than. I mean, if they can negotiate less than that, that's fine. But that 60% is between the operator.
How they split it? What's the public purpose for caring how they split it? The operator and the vendor.
Well, that's probably an interesting question.
Well, it seems to me that.
But right now, basically, what we're saying is I think it's important not to give these vendors the. Oh, I take that all back. The reason we wish to limit the amount of money that could go to a vendor is because one of the problems we're seeing is this incredible competition for vendor locations and the bidding wars that are occurring as a result. So we want to eliminate the vendor getting in the position of saying, I have X store, I have, you know, all these wonderful things going on here, therefore I can sell a lot more pull tabs here, so you give me, not permittee, not operator, 30%, you give me 50 or 60%, because over the long haul you're going to make a lot more money because I've got a swell operation here.
I think it all sort of reflects back at this table here. If you'll note that first A, this is a between a permittee and the vendor only. The permittee receives $315, right? That's what the
permittee is, the charity.
Right.
The vendor
charity.
Is the store operator,
right.
Who's selling the
right.
What?
So
what are they selling?
The pull tabs.
Pull tabs.
So
okay.
He makes $130, $35, and the permittee gets $315. I don't have any problem with that. I think that's correct. But however, now you put an operator into that scenario, then under the same circumstances, the permittee gets $67.50, and I think that's, you know, there's something wrong when you have more players out there and the permittee loses that kind of money. There's something wrong in that formula. So we're saying that if you have an operator involved in this here, they're going to have to guarantee that the permittee will get 40% of the ideal net, which would give, in this case here, instead of getting $67.50, they would be getting
$135.
Which is still considerably less than they get under a direct relationship with a vendor. So the theory behind this is that we're guaranteeing that they will not get $67.50, which I think is totally unfair because we have somebody else out there bargaining that they should at least get 40% rather than $67.50, which would bring it up to $135. In my opinion, they should get more than that. But maybe this is something that, these things are subject to change, but that's the absolute minimum. And the far scenario over here, where they get $19.13 out of the pot.
$1,000.
Yeah. Well,
right.
The operators, they get $82.50, the vendor gets $45, and believe me, the charity gets $19. A big deal. That's what we're trying to fix.
And many of the pull tab games are 85%.
Yeah. Well, we should fix them or prohibit them, one or two.
Yeah, well, I think we should, you know. I have a real problem with charitable groups getting the short end of the stick and their name being used for profitable operations that have no commitment to charity.
Contribute. The biggest charity is the guy that's pulling the deal.
Yeah, so. That's simply not fair. That's what we're trying to patch up. Maybe there's a better way of doing it, I don't know, but I don't think we're satisfied with $67.50. Would you be? If you were using your good name to go out and sell tabs and you end up with that kind of money, you wouldn't like it, would you?
Well, why are they having this person do it? Why don't they?
They do it themselves.
Yeah.
That's the reason they want to use vendors, Mr. Chairman. That's the interest that the permittees have in using vendors, because then they're eliminating what they consider to be a costly.
It's an incentive for them to go directly to the vendor rather than go to an operator. And I guess that's what it boils down to.
If you're increasing the amount of money that will go to the permittee, it may well actually encourage some of the permittees to go back with operators because they've got a guaranteed amount, and they can get rid of some of the headaches they have now having to conduct these games on their own.
What's the benefit of having an operator?
The fact that they do the work for you.
Oh, okay. So
and
an
I think,
operator
I mean,
does
I,
do the work.
Right. I support. I mean, we have always said we support operators because we really do think they serve a useful purpose in assisting these charities and in getting these games out on the street. I do think that we also support a higher percentage to the permittee because at this point in time, the operators are making more than the permittees. But given some higher return to them, I think it's legitimate to say that some permittees will be very interested in hanging in with an operator and getting this off their backs.
Go through once more then. The permittee, the operator, in turn deals with the vendor. This is where the operators come involved too. How about that scenario? They're not actually selling the pull tabs.
No,
they're
brokering
them.
Right. There are some. Right.
There
are some operators.
How come the vendor can't get the pull tabs direct? Why do they have to use an operator?
Right now, by law, the only people who can have pull tabs are permittees and operators, and they purchase those from distributors. And we don't want vendors, and that's one of the things we're trying to get a handle on here is the fact that we have vendors who have been ordering pull tabs and they're selling with no permittee, no nothing. It's going directly into the vendor's pockets. And they have no status under this law at all.
Right.
On middle of page 7, subsection K, this is sort of our conflict of interest statement for this bill. This simply says that the vendor cannot enter into a contract with the permittee to sell pull tabs if the permittee is a qualified organization and the owner or manager of the vendor is a member of the governing body of that organization. So if they're in some position where they could make a decision to place those pull tabs in their establishment as a board member of the organization, not just a member, we prohibit that. The same thing if you are an assembly person and you're in a position to make a decision about where the municipality might place its pull tabs, you could not, for compensation. I mean, no one's saying you can't do it for free.
Senator, supposing the permittee
is the Moose Lodge.
Uh-huh.
And supposing the Moose Lodge wants to sell their pull tabs in there, and it's the Moose Heart organization, and they are going to sell their pull tabs in several Moose lodges, and the managers of the lodges are also members of the organization. What do we do then?
Boy, I'm not sure I followed it. Let me think about this.
They're all Moose.
They're all Moose,
and they'll have their own permits. One lodge is not going to be permitted for another lodge to obtain their own permits.
Right. I mean, in most cases, the Moose Lodges themselves are the permittees, so if they're playing them in the Moose Lodge, that doesn't fall into this, Senator. And that's, in fact, what's happening. All these animal clubs have their own permits. Pardon me.
What did you say?
The animal.
We call them the animal clubs. Animal clubs. There's a few of them.
Well, the elks and the Moose.
Yeah, kind of noise there. Well, what we're saying here is that Moose Lodge, and they have the person who is in charge of those games, he's an officer of a lodge, and they decide they want to involve an operator, and the officer of that lodge cannot act as an operator because he has an inside track.
I guess if we want to look at it from the, if I can think about this one, if we have the Moose and its governing body, and they decide that they, and one of those people owns a bar in town, that bar, they could not sell pull tabs in that bar for compensation. In other words, if they wanted to go ahead and put the pull tabs in the bar, fine. But as long as the decision making was being made by that board, and one of the board members was the bar owner, they couldn't put the pull tabs in that bar and then get that person compensated. It's like you voting salary increase for yourself.
Conflict of interest.
Well, I don't see where it's a conflict of interest because the bar owner, Mr. Chairman, the bar owner is getting that compensation to compensate the bartenders and the people that are working for him.
See, that was my offer.
I mean, he's not pocketing that money. He's using it to compensate the time that's used in his establishment for other people.
He's also making a profit off it.
Yeah, but they do make money. They're not just covering their expenses, Senator.
They're making a profit. And he has a direct pipeline into getting that permit.
Mr. Chairman, I have no problem. I don't understand where you're going. I just don't want to close the door on people that take time to belong to organizations,
sure,
and they have an establishment and they get themselves boxed in.
Mr. Chairman, when this was originally drafted, we didn't limit it to the members of the boards. We had any member of the organization, and we specifically decided that that was too broad, and we agree with you. So now it's only if you're a member of the board of governors or a board of directors of a particular organization, then you can't. But if you were to get off the board and they wanted to sell them in your establishment, that's fine.
So, and then on the second part then, that I see that, but on the second part, that so if a member's a, if a person is a member of a city, of a municipal,
city council,
city
right,
council, second class city council, and they have pull tabs,
right,
he can't be the employee, that's all. He can handle it without compensation.
Right, he just can't be getting a compensation. Sure, if he wants to sell them in his store on behalf of the permittee, that's fine. Okay, Mr. Chairman, Section 10 then just simply requires that when the permittee or operator renew their permit or license, they also renew the registration fee for the vendor location. Section 11, this section actually applies to if the surety fund bill were to pass, the gaming surety fund bill. What this section says is that a vendor should also contribute to the charitable surety fund at an amount not to exceed $100.
We need that.
Section 12 is the section that I referred earlier in When the drafter of this bill took out our ability to summarily suspend a license during an investigation, they did add the cease and desist section here, and particularly in section B, gives us the ability to have a temporary stop, emergency order to stop, that expires after 60 days. And so we don't have a problem with that. It's 30 days less than we had before, but we think that'll work. Section 12.
Was it lobbying into it?
No, it's a. Ordinarily, if you're taking a license away from somebody, 30 to 60 days, it seems a reasonable period of time. We're not just too concerned about that. On section 12, this is amending the current statute to say a person with intent to mislead a public servant in the performance of their duties, including making a false statements in a license or a vendor registration. Then section 13 is the definition section. Defines ideal net to be the total amount of receipts if you sold every pull tab, less the prizes to be awarded. A permittee is either the municipality or the qualified charitable organization. And a vendor is a business whose primary activity is not regulated by this chapter, but they engage in the sale of pull tabs, they hold a business license, and they're a retail establishment, an eating establishment, or establishment license under ASO 411, which are the bars and things. And then section 14, the very last
Chairman, next to the left. Do you have, Mr. Chairman, in existing law, operators are already defined, right?
That's correct. Section 10 and 11 of this bill, which have to do with the surety fund bill, just says if the surety fund bill passes, then those sections take effect. If they don't, they never take effect. And then except for those, this bill takes effect immediately. And that's it.
Sheesh.
Can I answer?
My motion to adopt the substitute?
Should we just look at it for a day?
Chair, I don't mind that. I don't, you know, this is, matter of fact, I would rather, we might rather be tightening up further, but I mean,
yeah.
Or make more percentage.
You can amend these, so
I
don't care.
The whole thing is, I don't have a great deal of sympathy for operators or the vendors.
Oh,
sorry
the
to say,
thing.
I have sympathy with the charities, and when they're being used as a front to make money for other activities, I don't think that's a proper activity. But it's out there.
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Fakes,
why did you make the title this way, Randall?
Madam Chair, we didn't make the title at all. I'm having actually looked at the title. You mean the big title?
Yes.
I don't know. I'm not sure. I've actually never looked at the title.
You drive a truck through it.
Sure.
Chairman, I would prefer that we hold it. I'd like to send it up to the senior people and also the S class to make sure that there's no problems with it and get back first of the week.
I don't have any problems with, you know, but I'm sorry the title is so loose. It wasn't done on my behalf. I don't
apologize. I never even looked at it.
There
in
legal.
And the whole thing is minutes. We ought to tighten it up.
We should tighten it up, right.
You know, and that we ought to be gone, go on, get on with the show. Seems to me.
Right.
It is a menace.
Is there any other area? I'm not quite sure that percentages are right. Who knows? They're a lot better than they were, I can tell you that, but maybe they're not good enough. I don't know.
That's an improvement.
And I think that the title should be considered.
If you buy a ticket, Salvation Army pull tab, whatever it is, you think some portion of that funding is going to go to them. Some substantial portion, it seems to me.
I have a favor more than 40%, but that's an arbitrary number. I'm sure Mr. Sullivan would want to change those figures around, too. But I'm sorry it took so much time. I didn't realize those other bills were
bogged
down. And yep. I would like to have Randy go back and tighten this title up, at least to what it was to start with. But we can do that. Our committee can do that. And if there are any other suggestions, yep. Senator Fakes.
I would just like to make sure that we are keeping a level playing field for everybody. We're not letting new people into this thing, and we're not shifting the profits from one group away from another group. In other words, if there are operating expenses out there we haven't taken into account, I'd like to know that.
Mr. Chairman,
I hope we're shifting the profits, right, or else we're not
doing
anything.
Well, I mean between the vendors and the operators.
Well, that's a different field.
I can't specifically answer that. I mean, we can certainly, in pretty quickly or pretty soon, give you some figures from these reports so you can see how the money's being expended. 40% on pull tabs, I think, for the permittees is not an unreasonable amount. I think higher than that, and I really do think you'd be, you'd have some difficulties. You'd hear complaints, probably you're going to hear complaints anyway, but higher than that, I think you really are getting into the area of the expenses and the profit levels, but I don't think 40% is unreasonable, given the ease with which you can open and conduct a pull tab business. They're opening up every day in downtown Juneau. Walk along the street, there's three new ones.
I guess, I mean, we're all concerned with the fact that if we do nothing, we don't know what you're going to do. We know that you would want legislative indication of how the legislature feels, rather than leave it to chance. And we do know that it's growing like...
Leaving it to chance?
What?
Is that a pun?
We're gambling. If we don't take, if we don't do this, we're gambling. But I think they dropped a hot potato in your lap, and we're just trying to reach a reasonable solution. This is going to be perceived as a gambling bill when it's really my perception is that we're trying to tighten up on it. It's going on already, and for somebody to oppose a bill because it's gambling, the other option is it's worse. It's more gambling. So I don't know. I think we have to do something.
Sure. I agree with you. The Department of Revenue tried. They tried in regulations, and they created a war. We had to go, and I guess that's probably the reason why it got taken over into Commerce, because maybe Commerce could deal with it in a more rational way. But I know that when it was in Revenue, it wasn't going anyplace. And the thing is that we do need to get a handle on making sure that. As we operate these pull tabs, and of course, I really can't see much difference between a pull tab and a slot machine. You take a real good hard look at it.
Senator Fakes?
What happened to the bill that increases the numbers of games of chance?
Increases the numbers of games?
Yeah.
We're talking about the...
Is that SR-17?
The Senate Bill 409, I believe, 429, which...
There's a bill, no, there's a bill or... Are you increasing the numbers of possible different types of games of chance? Because in my basket, I got a letter from somebody. There must be 50 new games they want to use.
Oh, Senator Fisher's bill, which deals with carnival
It's carnival games. For fairs. The one that allows basketball.
Yeah, where is that?
And cow bingo, or whatever it is. Bossy bingo.
That was sent to your committee.
Right. It was at CNRA, and Senator Zemanski is sitting on that one. I probably shouldn't have said that way. The senator has the bill and he's committed. I'm sorry. It's late.
There's a real simple solution, too, if you want to do that, but I'm sure they're going to have a lot of people upset. And that's just go back to the original concept where charitable organizations would get a permit to play bingo, period. And they don't lease it out, they don't loan it out, they don't sell it out, they do it themselves. If they don't have a commitment for charity, they don't do it. We can do that. Forget about the pull tabs.
I don't care about the pull tabs.
I don't either, except to you. There's a lot of people out there who do.
If they
do serve a good purpose. They raise the nonprofit, the animal clubs, and Legion, and the VFW, who are the committees, they sell their own pull tabs, they do it all within house. It's a good program to raise funds for social activity, for their charities.
It would be more lucrative to sell drugs.
Most of them aren't.
But this is legal.
Most of them aren't forms of alcohol.
What did you say?
But this is legal.
It's not much of a distinction.
Wonderful meeting, Mr. Chairman.
Between gambling and alcohol, how do we get this from Fox?
How about Ratnet? Here we are.
We're bringing
censoring. The rural residents.
We're gonna
beer thing.
We're not gonna pass a bill out till you get your chance to say yes or no.
Thank you.
And we're gonna work on the same document with a different title. So you have till next week to round up your supporters.
Okay.
Well, we got those. That's not a problem.
To kill it.
Are we done?
I hope so.
Thank you.
Thank you for your patience. Thank you, Senator.